Grace and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. Many, if not most of us, are able to go our entire lives without ever having our hearts touched. We might see something beautiful, or maybe watch a touching movie. You might have felt your heartstrings tugged, you know, especially by that commercial about all the abused animals. I don't care if you change the channel, you still get moved by it. Hopefully, each of us have felt in our hearts the aspect of love for another person, but none of that is what I'm talking about. I know there are a few of us here, and I am one of them, whose heart has been literally touched by, held by, another human being. In my case, it was when I had quadruple bypass surgery. After my surgery, I did not think to ask at Dr. Jake what my heart looked like. I was more concerned about concentrating on my heart beating from 1 second to the next. But as I read our scripture for today, I wondered, hypothetically, could Dr. Jake see God's covenant written on my heart? Could he tell just by looking at my muscle that I tried to live as God has called me to? Now, I realize that that's not really a fair question. I don't honestly expect anyone to be able to see a physical difference in my heart because of faith. Hopefully, after they were done working on my heart, they could see a physical change in my heart because blood was now going to all the parts of my heart that it needed to. But how many of us, myself included, how many of us can be identified as believers by the way that we live, by the things that we say, the deeds that we do? Can we be identified as believers by what is written on our hearts? The prophet Jeremiah lived at a really lousy time in the history of the people of Abraham. He didn't get along with King Zedekiah, and it's never a good thing to not get along with the king. The people in the kingdom of Judah, they'd gotten a little cocky. Several decades prior, the Assyrians had come into the northern kingdom of Israel, wiped them out, assimilated them, taken them off the map, then came down south into the kingdom of Judah and parked right outside the gates of Jerusalem. They laid siege to the city, but then eventually they left. And when they left, there was great rejoicing throughout Jerusalem. All sorts of people proclaiming, "Oh, the Lord is a great God. God is never going to let anything bad happen to Jerusalem." Because, you see, the people were thinking back to the covenant that God had made to David, the second king of the kingdom. The promise that there would always be a descendant of David's on the throne in Jerusalem. And the people in Jeremiah's day were misinterpreting that to mean that the city of Jerusalem was always going to be under Jewish control. What those folks weren't taking into account was that a great number of the people were either supplementing their worship of the Lord God with worship of other gods, or they were outright ignoring the Lord altogether. And so along comes Jeremiah, and he says, "Look, folks, we have turned away from worshiping the Lord God. If we do not return, God is going to allow our enemies to come into Jerusalem, take us over, and we will not like that." To which the people of Jerusalem pretty much responded,
Shut up, Jeremiah. God loves us. God is never going to let anything happen to Jerusalem. I'll give you three guesses as to what happens to Jerusalem. And here's a hint. It's called the exile. So our reading today comes at a point where Jeremiah is reminding the people of what God has done for them, what God is doing for them, and what God will do for them as long as they remember how God is calling them to live. And in order that they will remember how God is calling them, that to always remember that God will stay with them no matter what is going on in their lives, regardless of whether they brought it on themselves or not, Jeremiah tells them that they have a new promise, a new covenant. This promise of self-accountability, of forgiveness, and it is going to be put right where they will never lose it, on their hearts. The Word of God will stay with them. The Word of God will stick with them in ways that they cannot even begin to fathom. Because God has made that Word part of their very core. God has bound that Word into the very fabric of their being. Maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, that's well and good for the people of Jeremiah's day, but I wasn't alive 2,500 years ago, so what's the big deal about this? Guess what happens at our baptism? We watched it just a few minutes ago. That promise, that Word of God given in Jeremiah's day, was passed down from then till now. That same covenant is given to us through Christ at our baptism because of Jesus' death. So here's an interesting thing, or at least I find it interesting. So most folks who have an operation similar to mine, we joke that we're part of the zipper club, because of the way that our scars look, you know, a long straight line with dots on either side from where the skin is sewn back together. Excuse me. Except, you know what? I wasn't sewn. Dr. Jake used super glue. He told me that it's less likely to get infected, and also glue doesn't leave nearly as noticeable of a scar. And he's right. But I know that that scar is there. I see it every morning as I look in the mirror washing up. I know it's there regardless of whether I'm wearing a shirt and a jacket, you know, my fancy pastor clothes, whatever. I know that my glued together scar is there because I can feel my heart beating. I know that God's love and forgiveness and strength are there because those are the promises of my baptism, because Jeremiah has told me that God put them there on my heart. I know that God is with me. I know that God loves me and forgives me and gives me strength. And I know that God loves you and forgives you and gives you strength. Because our God is a faithful God and sticks with us in all things.